Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back, or to your first episode, I guess, of Coffee and Cauldron.
I'm so sorry. Just kidding.
Thank you for joining us on episode 6 of season 3. If you've just joined, my name is Robin. I am at A Tired Witch on Instagram, and I am joined by the lovely, beautiful, sensual... Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Why, thank Hi. You. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm trying to make sensual a thing. Somebody commented.
I like the word sensual.
Me too. And somebody commented as a review to us and said that they loved our sensual voices. And I was just like, yes, I have planted the seed and I will see it grow.
Everyone will be using it. Like, it'll be the new thing. Everyone's like, oh, well, this turkey sandwich is so sensual.
Stop trying to make sensual happen.
Oh, it's happening.
If you've just joined us this time, if this is your first time, first of all, hi, welcome to the best podcast on earth.
If we don't say so ourselves, it's fine.
Well, I mean, I be biased, but it is true. Anyway, every single episode we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how we can use that in our magical practices. These are not astrological check-ins in respect to your own sun signs. This is just how we can utilize the astrological lunar phases in our practice. Now, that being said, on April 16th, we have the full moon in Libra. Libra full moons are great because they are a chance to focus on and bring more balance into our lives, both mundane and magically. We can utilize this moon to kind of focus on sort of the imbalances and holes in our life that need filling and really call on energy that is going to provide a little boost in that. Simultaneously, the Libra full moon is a really good chance to do things like healing power dynamics in current and past relationships. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you might have found a relationship is no longer feeling quite like you are both giving and taking in the same sort of way, we can focus in on that and utilize the Libra full moon to find balance in it. It is also a really good time to do things like closure for heartbreak. If you have been considering potentially doing a spell that is going to kind of release the ties of you and another person, this would be a really good time to do that. It's obviously not going to be perfect for everyone. Some of us are going to find the Libra full moon is going to be bringing a lot of healing to our heart, and other people are going to have some severing that will hurt. Mm-hmm. It might suck for some of us, and I don't want to sugarcoat that. Yeah. Even if I was struggling to find the words for a second, what's up?
No, everything that you said definitely makes a lot of sense, and I feel like also Libra is also known to be such a creative sign, and
and every Libra I know is kind of the horniest person I've ever met.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It's also a sensual time to practice some sensual magic.
Sensual again? Oh my goodness. Stop trying to make sensual happen.
Practice some sensual glamour magic.
Yes.
Yeah. Do an art project for the full moon.
Listen, what we're trying to say is... bring some balance into your life by, you know, rubbing one out and making yourself feel better, or go do a cord cutting ceremony. Both yeah. work for this full moon. Oh, God. Do you remember when we started this podcast and we did one horny reference ever? And I was like, it's the horniest episode ever. And now
every
we're like
horny.
Three seasons in. And I'm just like, get a vibrator, rub one out, and have a good Libra full moon. Okay.
Honestly, that is very big Libra energy. So, I mean,
actually,
Are you wrong?
A Libra friend of mine that I have, this is a great example of why Libras are all so horny. A really good Libra friend of mine once told me that if you have a hangover, to just masturbate and it will get rid of your hangover. So I personally have never tried it because I don't actually get hangovers very often. But if anybody listening wants to give it a shot, she swears by it. So consider that.
So what Robin is saying, if you're hungover during the full moon, you can do magic at the same time of
Perfect.
Removing your hangover.
It's the horniest episode ever.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing other people's opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So this week, I thought we'd do something new. I think revisiting an old card that we did would be fun. And I believe the first episode of our first season, we did this one. So I just want to see.
Been a minute.
What?
It's been a minute.
Oh, yeah, it has. It's been years now. Years.
Isn't that crazy that we've been doing the podcast for years?
So crazy. It doesn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't.
No.
But that's because time flies when I'm having fun with you.
Aw, thanks, babe. But I just figured we could see how our thoughts have changed, and maybe we'll even bring up like something new when it comes to the card that we didn't speak about on the first go round, because we were still learning about doing a podcast. So, but we're going to be looking back at the moon card. So on this card, you will see a moon between two towers. These towers are shown on many different cards throughout the deck, such as the Four of Wands, Death, and obviously the Tower. And on the ground, you'll see three different creatures, a domesticated dog, a wolf, and a lobster coming out of a body of water towards
you know
a path.
Do you know what I just realized?
What did you just realize?
You know how you say wolf instead of wolf?
I know that.
But our very first episode that we ever recorded, Frank had never edited one of our podcasts, and Maria said woof, and he had to hear her say it like 9 times, and he was like, I'm gonna blow my brains out. And you just said it again. I'm gonna pee my pants. I'm so sorry to detract. Continue with the story.
Look, Frank, all of us have accents, okay? I cannot control mine. I'll do my best.
You do not need to do anything differently. I just heard you say it and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I just remembered this.
Okay. So the universal keywords to this card are illusion, fear, and the subconscious. Much like I said on the first go around of this card, I view this card very differently than most readers, and that has not changed. I want to share with all of you, like my base thoughts about this card, and then I'll go into the new way I have begun to see it like the past couple months. So when this card comes up, it usually shows me that someone is denying a big part of themselves, or they feel restrained by life. Much like the domesticated dog, which represents our conservative natures, they long to run free and like howl at the moon, but they are pulled to act a certain way that society deems fit. The wolf represents our wild. The person who wants to do exactly as they wish and to live fiercely and authentically. And I want to stress that nothing like is wrong with the dog. It represents us being responsible, and the wolf is more animalistic. You know, many rules don't apply, which isn't always the best thing. It kind of reminds me of Carl Jung's work about he said that we all wear a mask, which is represented by the dog, to the outside world. And that mask is important, but we cannot like deny our wild selves either. We have to meet ourselves in the middle, much like the lobster on this card, which to me represents the shell we have formed to protect ourselves. We have to practice both being the dog and the wolf. And only then we will find like our authentic path forward. Now, when this card is upright, it really shows me that we are leaning more on the conservative side. We are scared of being our authentic selves, to not even show the world around us that part of ourselves, and not even ourselves. And we may find, I mean, you may even find like yourself making fun of people who show signs of representing the wolf on this card, or even longingly wish you could be as free as they are. It kind of reminds me of werewolves a little bit. Ooh. The longer you like suppress a side of yourself, especially the untamed part of you, it will explode out of you eventually. It'll
you guys,
be painful.
Maria's trying to tell you that she wants to be a Molgoth.
I just have this untamed side of myself that is just ready to burst out of the seams.
All right, Corn, calm down.
Yes. But it will be painful. And right away after that like explosion happens, you'll probably slip back into that super domesticatedness after it happens, but the damage is done. And I think that allowing yourself to make friends with like that inner part, wild part of you, whatever it means to you, is so important. Maybe it's going out with friends, dancing wildly like no one's watching, embracing parts of you that society might frown upon, working hard, but also playing hard too. You know, finding a middle ground through an outlet so you don't feel so pent up by repressed in your life. Now, the new way I've been seeing this card is just like a little different than what I've just said, but definitely involves it as well. You know, the moon cycles, it waxes, grows full, wanes, and then disappears only to reappear in the sky. And the moon isn't the only thing that goes through a cycle. We do as well. And the domesticated dog can definitely represent the waning or dark part of the moon when we are slowing down and doing work that needs to get done. And then the wolf can represent the waxing or full moon when we are having fun and like living life to the fullest. When we deny our cycles for whatever reason, it can make life so hard and unbearable. It's like, when all you do is work and you're overworking yourself and you have no outlet, no cycle, you will burn out. This card seems to pop up a lot in work readings for this reason. And most of the time it isn't our fault. It is society, especially here in America. There is nothing wrong with being a boss and getting shit done, but should only be half of your time. It's unfair for those who have to, you know, work that way. Definitely. And only reform of like how businesses conduct themselves will things change for the better. But, you know, advocate for yourself when you can. Now, let's say you are like overworking yourself and you're your own boss. I think scheduling is important here. You aren't lazy for having fun or relaxing, especially after you've already worked so hard. You may think that you're impressing everyone by burning yourself out, but you will snap and become that werewolf who goes through that horrible, painful change rather than just allowing yourself the time to freely be that part of yourself. And on the other hand, you know, when this card is upside down, it means like you're representing that wild side too much, that other part of the cycle, by over partying and saying screw it to, you know, like responsibilities. But as I said, that only comes up when reversed for me. But how do you view this card? I had a lot to say. I'm so
That's
sorry.
That's okay. You don't need to be sorry. I actually don't have anything to add, if I'm being really honest with you. I think we've talked about this before, how I feel about the moon card basically just being this big illusion and not seeing things clearly for what they are. I also would add that the moon sometimes can show like doormat insecurities or like repressed kind of issues that we're projecting onto other people. Mm-hmm. Just like the moon reflects the sun's light and is not actually glowing itself. Mm-hmm. We might see issues in other people that really are issues within ourselves that we are projecting outward.
So you're saying that the moon card is Lindsey Graham?
I do not know who Lindsey Graham is. And I feel
you don't
like
know?
I don't. I have no idea who that is.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to say it real quick. He's a Republican. It's South Carolinian, like, a politician, and he's definitely gay, and but he's like completely like anti-gay everything, and like it's
love
horrible.
That yeah, love that for him. Good for Lindsey mm-hmm. Graham, man. You live, laugh, love, buddy, right into a very unhappy future. Yeah, so I yeah. really don't have much to add, but I think that your additional insights this time were very interesting, and I hope that people appreciate all the thought you put into the woof.
Yes, I hope
sorry
so.
Break.
So Robin and I thought it would be fun for this time that we talk about altar setups. I think we've talked about it in the past, especially our first season. I think we went over altar setups, mm-hmm. but it seems to be like a very hot topic for, I don't know, even witches have been practicing for a while, like just getting everything set up to the way that they like it. And of course, you know, there's social media pressure to have your altars look a certain way and all that. So I thought it would be fun to go
circle
over
back.
Yeah, circle back.
Actually,
and
one of the very first articles I ever wrote for our Patreon was how to start an altar. And I was just telling Maria, because we're going to discuss this today, that maybe I will circle back to that and we'll do a mm-hmm. refreshed version, especially now that we're doing these like nice little PDF documents.
I know. I'm actually planning to redo a bunch of our articles on the Patreon. And do it the yeah. PDF way.
And I'm going to go through, listen, we're just talking about freaking stuff we're going to do for the Patreon, but I'm going to go through all of the Patreon articles, all 300 of them, and I'm going to add tags to them so that way it's easier to find things for people.
Yeah.
I was like thinking about that. That's going to be my April project.
Yeah.
Why I decided to do this 3 years in, do not ask me, but here we are. I will never
well,
add
just
another
redoing
tier,
them.
Though.
We'll just start now.
I will never add another tier to our Patreon, however, because the last time I added a tier, when we introduced the spellcaster boxes, at the time we had 112 articles, and mm-hmm. it took me 4 hours to manually add all the tiers, like all the articles to the new tier. And we did two fucking tiers. We did the spellcaster coven and then spellcaster mm-hmm. tier. I will never do it again. You guys want something extra? Find it from somebody else. I'm not making it a tier.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. That was like, at this point, we have so many articles, and because you have to manually add every single thing, it would take me like a week.
Yeah,
no, that sounds like admin hell.
That's when you just hire someone else to do it. But
truly.
Anyway. So where did your altar begin, like when you first started out, like
my first ever altar or the altar that I currently,
or like when you started, what did your altar like look like?
Well, when I started practicing in a serious way, I lived mm-hmm. in a big, like I lived in an apartment that had 6 people in it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to San Francisco. And when I started practicing in a really serious way, I had a very small bedroom and I did not have a lot of space. Thus is why I said it was small. Welcome to the redundancy department. And I also was not comfortable sharing that side of me with my mm-hmm. housemates, which is so silly because now, like, I'm still best friends with all these people. well, with two of them. I married another, the other one, one of the other people. But I'm still best friends with all these people, and they all know about it now, and I, like, do not care at all. If not, do not care, but they'll come to me with questions and stuff like that, or asking for help. So it's so funny that I was weird about that then. But I kept all my stuff in a drawer, the bottom drawer of mm-hmm. my wardrobe. Like, I had, like, or chest of drawers. The bottom drawer was my altar. And my now husband at the time, when he moved in, I, like, gathered all that stuff because I was trying to make space for him. And I, like, mm-hmm. hid it in a shoebox in the top shelf of the closet. And, like, just kept it away just so that way he didn't have space. But it was like, so you would pull out the drawer and I had it lined with like a cloth, that like mm-hmm. a altar cloth, right? I did not have a cauldron at the time, but I did have like a Pyrex dish that I mm-hmm. used for like burning stuff in. And I yeah. had my little candle holders, and I had like a printout picture of Santa Muerte, because I've always, like, I've been a devotee of hers forever. And it was just like the most ridiculous little thing. Like, in hindsight, it was so ridiculous, but it worked for me. So
no,
it worked, I mean, right?
Yeah, if it works, it works.
What about you?
Yeah, I didn't have an altar for the longest time. Like, I had all my witchy knickknacks for sure, but I didn't have like a permanent setup. I had like things scattered in my room growing up, and whenever I did a spell, I would just grab what I need. But mm-hmm. as you said, I didn't have a cauldron. I don't think I had a cauldron until I came out to my wife. But even then, though, I never gravitated to how, like, Wiccans were setting up their altars at the time. Like, no hate for it, by the way, but it just never resonated much for me. And when we first moved into this house, like I am in right now, mm-hmm. like, all we had, like, downstairs where most of my altars are now, was two lawn chairs. Like, mm-hmm. it was probably like that for, like, a whole year. And then eventually, like, we did get a couch, but it was still, like, very sparse. And a few years later, like, we finally got, like, this wooden table that we were going to use for our Xbox and stuff. But there was, like, plenty of room at the top. And this was like the time I was still in the broom closet with my wife, but I was getting less worried about it being out in the open. And I really finally wanted like a permanent altar space. We had just moved into like our, you know, family home. We were like no longer in the military, and this is where we're like settling down, hopefully temporarily. But so I finally got that triangle shelf that you could see in some of my photos, in even like a few crystals. And at the time I was like telling my wife, you know, like, I just think they're neat. But eventually, you know, I did open up about what I was doing, and she joined in, and eventually it became like our family altar space. And, you know, I think it's just like so important that we realize that we all start somewhere. And, you know, what you see in my photos is literally years of collecting things that are mm-hmm. special to me. Yeah. I didn't have anything, practically nothing, for like the longest time.
And I think that's actually a really important thing to like talk about. Mm-hmm. Because I know we've talked about this so many times on the podcast about comparing yourself to other people on social media. But mm-hmm. you really can't, because I had a thriving practice that has worked incredible for me at the time, mm-hmm. just as it does now. And I literally kept all my stuff in a drawer hidden in my bedroom with like three things in it. I think I got most of the stuff from it at like the Dollar Tree as well, because she's a Dollar Tree queen. Live, laugh, love. But I really do want to emphasize that, because I know it's so easy to get hung up on this kind of game of more things equals a better practice, more money spent equals a better practice, mm-hmm. and that it could not be farther from the truth. And I think for me, when I first started witchcraft, just kind of in general, I wish I had known that, because I know I compared, social media wasn't what it is now. And I still compared myself to like people that I saw at the metaphysical store or stuff that I saw on like angel fire sites and stuff like that, where it was these grand, like ritualesque altar spaces that I thought I needed. And like, yes, to some people's measures, the altar that I have now would feel very grand, but it you have to take into kind of consideration that that is almost two decades of collecting and adding to it, not, you know, 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So just something to keep in mind, because I know it's so easy to fall into that hole.
Yeah, especially in, like, it's not even for just like our altars, but like our knowledge too. You're not going to learn everything, you know, when you just start. Like, it's years and years of reading and exploring and even changing your practice along the way. Like, Robin and our practice have changed even since the pod has started. Like, things have changed and will continue to change. And you know, our altars and knowledge like that are depicted by that. Everyone starts out somewhere, and not everyone has a lot of money to spend on like crazy altar adornments.
And the fact of the matter is that if you consider paganism from 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, the accessibility to these items was not really a thing. And so most pagans and witches made do with what they had or what they could make. And
they didn't even really have altars like before everything. No. Their homes were their altar.
Exactly. Like, and I think that the internet has created, unfortunately, this really big false sense that more money spent equals better spell work. And that does not equate to reality. It doesn't translate. It just doesn't.
So where is your altar now? Like, how has it grown into what it is now?
Well, I have several of them now. I have several of them now. I have what I consider like my family kind of protection altar, which has my giant Virgin de Guadalupe on it, which my child broke.
You just needed a new one, Mom. Okay.
Apparently, I did get a new one though immediately. My spouse is the best.
Beautiful.
My spouse is the best, and literally bought me a brand new one to replace it. but I consider that kind of the central protection of my home. And becomes kind of the altar space for that. I have my working altar, which is dedicated to Santa Muerte and is where I do most of my sacred work and is kind of where spirit sits for my home. Now, I have a very tiny home, as we have discussed before, but I have a very tiny home and therefore I don't have a lot of space. I also have a space out in the forest that sometimes I will go on walks to and visit and kind of use that to work with and, you know, pay patronage to just the forest spirits. So for me, the idea of an altar kind of needing to be one thing has expanded in a massive way. Simultaneously, my altar is out and proud and is a huge part of my home now and is, it's a central point of our home. It really is. So I don't know, in that respect it's changed, and when we get moved it'll change again, and I'm excited to see what that looks like. So I think it's really interesting.
I can't
interesting.
Wait to see what you do. It's gonna
Me
be
too.
Beautiful.
I have stuff in storage too that I can't wait to take out, so I'm excited to see how that's gonna grow and change.
Same.
So what about yours?
So just like you, I have like so many altars now. Like, I only take pictures of three of them, but I have my main altar, my kitchen altar, which is my kitchen altar. I mean, that's where I do a bunch of deity stuff and where, I don't know, just the majority of my spell work and not just kitchen witchery. But I also have my divination altar, my family altar, which is for protection and things like that, just like you said. I have my money altar, bedroom altar, bathroom altar, and ancestor altar. And I want to stress, like, a few of those altars are very basic. They aren't my main ones, but they serve their purposes. And, like, I know, like, as I said, I only, like, take pictures of three of them. If I took pictures of the other ones, people probably be like, that's an altar. But it, like, to me, that's, like, I put stuff there for purpose of being an altar. But, yeah, just the same as you, just continuing to
grow and expand. And, yeah. And I also, like, when I first started, when I first started, and I'm sure a lot of people will relate to this, is that I was a teenager. The only thing I had available to me was Wicca and Wiccan books. And so even though I am not somebody who is a traditional Wiccan or a ceremonialist in any way, when I first started, I really thought I had to adhere to, like, putting things in the specific positions of the watchtowers. And, like, I really always made sure to have all four elements on my altar at all times. And, like, and in a way, that is still happening on my altar. Like, I still have, like, incense, air, a candle, fire. You know what I mean? Like, I still have all these things, but those things are there for most times different reasons now than when I first started. When I first started, it wasn't really a, it didn't have a purpose for me, if that makes sense. I was like, well, I've got to represent air, so I've got my incense. Where now incense are an offering to the dead, and that's why I have incense on my altar. It just also happens to correlate with the air element.
You know, if I want to work with the elements, like, I'll bring stuff out, like, purpose. Yeah, I don't leave it out all the time. Like, I don't know, just the whole Wiccan setup has never resonated with me. And mine is more like a cultivation of, it has become like a reflection of who I am as a witch and what I love and what makes me feel it is, like, what makes me feel what would cultivate a magical space or look like a magical space. Yeah. And I feel like altars are really are a depiction of, like, a witch in their craft. And they're just, like, really fun to, like, pick out, like, certain pieces and not feel like you have to adhere to a certain thing. I mean, some people need that, and that's completely valid.
Fine.
But I'm more like, I don't know. I have, like, my own thing, and that's what makes my altars feel magical to me. And I think that's what's important when cultivating an altar.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So what was the next thing that I wrote down? Oh yeah. Where do you recommend finding altar decorations?
Thrift stores.
Same.
Thrift stores, Dollar General and thrift stores. Listen, I think that metaphysical shops are incredible. I love them. I go to them and I oftentimes will buy myself little things. Like, for example, if you want to work with crystals, you are unlikely to find crystals at a thrift store. Doesn't mean you can't. It just, you're unlikely to.
Yeah.
So there are certain things that I feel like metaphysical stores are the only option for. If you can afford to shop semi-exclusively at a metaphysical store, I say, hell fucking yeah, support those small businesses. But if you can't, thrift stores are the shit. You can get silver platters there. You can get candle holders. You can get sometimes candles. You can get, we've talked about before, having symbolism on altars. If you are not somebody who is totally open with what you're doing, but wants to keep an altar kind of in the central hub of the home, you can find symbols for your, you know, whoever you're paying patronage to.
Yeah.
Thrift stores are the shit. 12 out of 10.
They are. Yeah. People, like, are often surprised when I say I don't spend much money on my altars, like the decorations and stuff like that. Most of it is, like, thrifted, as you've said, secondhand finds, gifts, and, like, with the odd actual full price purchase. I don't like to spend money on myself. I will easily go to the thrift store and, like, spend something on myself, but If I'm going to buy something for my altar and spend a lot of money on something, it's going to be something that's super special that I have thought on for a very long time, like a statue or something like that.
But absolutely.
Yeah. But you can find, if as long as you're willing to go like thrifting and find like secondhand and even go to like flea markets or things like that, like you're giving something a second life. And I think that's so important. Like that thing might have ended up in a dump. So technically you're also serving the earth as well by not like buying something new. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 1,000% it does. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like you're also finding like unique things that aren't really around anymore. So you're you know, your altar won't look like everybody else's. You can make it more unique to yourself.
Yeah.
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 I mean, even like if you're up in like the north in the US, like people find cauldrons at like the thrift stores. So.
Which is psychotic. I love that, but I have never gone to a thrift store and found a cauldron. And I'm like, what fucking thrift stores are you guys going in that you just waltz in and you find a like $60 cauldron for $5?
It's New England. It's New England. I am so jealous. It's no fair.
I'm so jealous.
But like, even my divination table, like altar.
Yeah,
that was secondhand. And you can't find anything like that now.
I love thrifting. I love it so much.
Me too.
And then the last thing that you wrote down for us to discuss is tips for closet witches or traveling witches. Why don't you go first?
So I actually want to bring up something that someone in the Discord has done.
Oh, okay.
They actually they have this basket that's like cube shape and even has like a lid for it, and they put like all their stuff in there and they can use the lid as like a portable altar, like they can set stuff on the lid. I just think that is so crafty and so cute because you can easily like put it away if guests are coming over, and also keep it away from like animals and things like that. And she even like takes it with her to travel, I think she said, and I was like, that's so smart. I want one.
That's really smart.
Please.
Gray in the Discord also had, they had like the Altoid tin. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Gray had the Altoid tin travel altar. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had seen somebody actually do one that I was like, yeah, I get it now. Like, I get how you're doing that and getting all that stuff in there, that I was able to make my own. And I made like three of them now. I think that those are so brilliant, but simultaneously, even though it's a travel altar and it's like teensy and discreet, like I don't see why that couldn't be used for somebody who's not public with their practice. You know what I mean? Because it's so small.
Yeah. And I think it's really easy, especially with how design is going now, like to have an altar and no one knows it's a altar. Like
1,000%.
You just have like some candles set up and someone be like, oh, that's a pretty setup, you know. You don't have to have
beautiful piece of decor.
Yeah, you don't have to have like blatant witchy symbols and stuff up all the time. Like, you could bring that stuff out for spell work. You don't have to feel like you've got to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that although I am coming from a privileged place where I can keep mine up at all times, there is absolutely nothing wrong with putting stuff away. And that's part of why like cabinet altars are so great, because it's like the whole thing you have, you can protect, and you can store those things safely and discreetly inside where it's not out all the time. But simultaneously, you aren't like shoving it in just like some shoebox and in a closet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So something to consider. We'll see if I revisit the old altar article. Lord, I don't even want to know what it says, but we'll
as we said, we've grown. We continue to grow.
I have not grown.
Fine.
Okay, I want problems always. Maria's grown. I have not. I have not grown at all as a person or as a witch. So consider that.
I disagree. Yeah, coming from an author. Okay. Like, just keep it to yourself, woman. We all know you're successful.
You're right. I am. And I'm so pretty, too. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, God, I am never going to not
find that funny. We will be on, like, season 17, and I'll be like, hee-hee.
It's, like, extra. There's so much pollen in the air right now. I feel so stuffed up, and I'm, like, trying to be all, like, sensual. I do not feel sensual right now.
She's so phlegmy, guys, and it's so, hot. So, speaking of pollen, what is stirring my cauldron this week is that it's not winter anymore. I hate winter so fucking much for like a wide variety of reasons. I do not like winter. I don't like it's cold. I don't like to have to shovel snow. I hate ice. My husband can't go cycling outside and he gets all stir crazy. I do not like winter, but spring has sprung, baby. And that means that I can go on walks outside with my child. Love that. Love the sun. Love the other day. It was nice enough outside that I was wearing shorts, my kid was wearing shorts, and we were out on the grass just enjoying the nice day. Ugh, 10 out of 10. Would do again. Will do again. I needed that. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I won't experience that until fall, but I love that for you. Because as I said, the green stuff is fucking disgusting and so bad. It's so bad. Yeah. No.
That's fair.
No.
See, we don't get the pollen waves here, the pine pollen, until like usually May. So I have like this little pocket of like mid-March to the end of April where the world is perfect. The weather is it's not too hot. It's not too cold. There's no like pine pollen covering everything. All you need is maybe a cardigan and life is just thriving. And I love that. I'm so glad that spring is here. And it's the same thing happens in fall as well. You have like a month and a half there where everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
Yeah. I would rather have spring winter back.
I've got vitamin D coming from the sun. Ugh. I might even not take my pills for a few days. We'll see.
And here just I kidding. Am taking I'm, pills. Because yeah. I'm like, I'm see, not I will going never out stop there. Taking it.
10 out of 10. I love it.
No.
I love it.
No.
Thank you, spring.
I'm going to come live with you during spring. So make room. I'm going to actually enjoy spring.
You're ridiculous.
Hey, there's like, if you look up pollen and type in GIF, I'm pretty sure it shows pollen in South Carolina. Like actual one that was like a GIF that was shot in South Carolina. And it's disgusting. Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
Why do you live there?
I don't know, Robin.
What do you expect me to have an answer for this? I don't know.
I don't know anymore. Get me out. I want to go with you. Yeah.
All right. You're welcome. You're invited.
Okay.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron?
Thank you so much for asking, you sensual woman.
I'm just so sensual.
It's happening. Anyways. But, so what is not stirring my cauldron is actually Elon Musk potentially lighting up the sky with ads, our night sky with ads. Could you believe this is an actual thing that they've been reporting since last year. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but
I don't
it's
think
been
it
talked
will.
About. And he wants to send, I don't know if he's already set one up, but a satellite in the sky to show, like, basically logos and stuff in the night sky. So when you look up, you're like, oh, there's Coca-Cola. Because he thinks it's going to revolutionize ads. And I'm just, as you said earlier when I was talking to you about this, dystopian. It's so dystopian.
Dystopian. Like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And when I think about it, it makes me want to cry. Just, I couldn't, I don't know. Like, that would be depressing.
Yeah.
I just, as you know, we talk about the night sky and, like, you know, it's just a huge part of our, like, practices, and that actually happening would just, I don't know, like, it hurts my soul.
Yeah, it's just a lot. It's honestly such a lot.
I mean, I can totally see it happening in the future.
You think?
Just because, oh yeah, commercialism and all that, it's not going anywhere. If anything, it's just going to get worse.
That's true. We are beyond, late stage capitalism at this point. So
yeah, I mean, we already have like a bunch of like space garbage up there. So
space garbage.
So why not just add, you know, an ad to the sky?
I mean,
so when you
I'll
look
be
up,
honest with how destructive humans are in general. I am very surprised that our garbage is not launched into a rocket into the space like once a month.
Didn't Bezos say that he wanted to do that?
Of course he fucking did. I mean, I don't know if he said that or not, but if anybody was going to say it, it would be fucking Jeff Bezos.
Jeffrey Bezos.
God.
But I don't know. It just makes me very upset to think about. I could not imagine, like, I don't know. This guy should just be left alone. Like, we already do enough fucking damage.
What if we launched our trash into space? And then the vacuum of space sent it back. And that's how Americans, I keep saying Americans because Americans are such a capitalist fucking country. But that's how humanity died. Because our own trash, like, meteorized us. Like the dinosaurs.
That's terrible. Can I don't know why I'm laughing. I can't imagine. That's so bad.
I can see that happening.
Our space junk.
I don't even mean the space junk like coming back. I mean us fucking propelling our space junk. Like, yeah, we'll just send it out there. Maybe it'll land on Venus. Psycho.
So psycho. No thanks. And I like how the worst people like we're like talking about are. Of course, they're the ones saying it. Like, we have Musk and Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. Psycho. Absolutely psycho.
But yeah.
Did you know that Elon Musk has, like, 1,000 kids? I don't know if he has 1,000. I might be exaggerating.
I think he had, like, what? I know he has, like, 3 with the previous wife, and then he has 2
with
Grimes.
No, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He has 8 children.
Oh no.
Listen, no, I'm, you know, good for him, I guess, but they appear to almost all be boys, and that sounds crazy having that many boys. I mean, I guess when you're
hopefully,
a billionaire.
Hopefully, they take care, they take after mom.
Hopefully,
moms.
They have really good nannies that raise them to be normal children.
That too. Let's be honest here.
They're not raising their own kids. Love that energy for you, though. Love that you put that kind of thought into that.
So, yes, what's not stirring our cauldrons is Elon Musk. Everything about him.
Goddamn Musk. If you have just joined us this week, every single week we talk about creators that we are loving right now.
And I'm not going to chastise everyone this month, this episode. I'm not going to do it. I feel like we're in season three. And I feel like at this point, if you don't know that we're going to make fun of you, if you ask to be on here,
you're not even listening to it anyway.
You're not even listening to it. And for the people who are listening, I'm not going to keep chastising. I've decided to move on from it. I've decided.
That being said, you have grown as a person.
That being said, if it starts up again in high quality, I will bring it back. So this is the last time that I will ever say it. It's the last time, but you've been warned.
It's and that was a lie. Just kidding.
Narrator, that is not true. But I've decided I'm gonna move away from it, because most of the things that we've been getting recently have been from clearly people who don't listen. Mm-hmm. And so why do you guys need to hear that every time? We're moving away from it. It's been 3 years. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I just recently got the embroidered graveyard oracle. And
love that.
I know, it's a freaking beautiful deck. Like, if you love foil, oh, it's amazing. If you love, like, you know, Samhain and the whole October season, like, yeah, this deck is 100% for you. Like, yeah, you can either use this deck a Ouija board. Like, uh-huh, for spirit communication. Like, it's specifically made for, like, spirit communication, or you could just use it as a normal oracle deck. But they have, like, cards like grandmother, grandfather, ancestors, like,
I have one coming, and I'm literally so excited about it. I'm so excited about this deck.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think it's really fun and such a great idea. And they even have, like, a hello and goodbye deck. So, I mean, cards. So you could be like, okay, I'm done. Goodbye. Like, if you don't feel comfortable just, like, leaving communication open. Because I know that's a lot of thing that a lot that witches, like, worry about is, like, leaving spirit communication open and, like, something, like, mm-hmm, slipping through. So if you feel, like, more comfortable being like, okay, I'm done, and then putting down the goodbye card, and then that's you wrapping up the session, this mm-hmm deck has that. And they even have, like, goodbye too the box's deck. So when you close it, there's a goodbye tab. So you're, like, literally closing it off. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a great idea and a very beautiful deck.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I know, I'm really excited for mine to show up.
I'm excited for you to get it. So who you've been loving?
I am actually loving a friend of mine, the Redheaded Witch, also known as Autumn. She has a thing coming out. It's actually launching tomorrow that we record this. I think it'll be the same day it comes out, on the 1st of April, called Folkcraft Goods. And I think it's so cute. Like, it's so cute. She's selling potions that are like syrups for coffee and tea. Mm-hmm. And they're all, like, intentionally focused. So, like, prosperity, tranquility. She's also got She's got tea blends that she's coming out with the same sort of thing. Each tea one blends. I don't want to say that, though, because she's not an herbalist. I think that would be incorrect.
I was just teasing.
The word just popped in my head. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, I think it's really cool. Her branding for it is so cute. Like, I'm very obsessed, and I hope that she has a lot of success in that. I think it's all very cute, and I would like to have some now. Thank you.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. We hope that we will see you again on April 15th for our 7th episode of season 3. Or you can catch us on the in-betweens for coffee talk. We haven't actually picked next month's topic, so I guess we'll discuss that after this.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
You can also keep an eye out on our Instagrams and or our Twitter. Follow us there at Coffee and Cauldrons Pod or Coffee and Cauldrons on Twitter. Or you can just go to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, for more information.
and I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to try to say this, but or you can even join us on our Discord tier, Witches First Coven, on Patreon, so we can answer your question next time in our part two. Yes. If you're loving Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts and as well as on Spotify. We definitely appreciate it, and it helps get our podcast out there for other listeners.
And we do read them. For everybody who writes like yes, cute little do. Notes, we read them and we discuss it, and we really appreciate it. So thank you. You would even get to hear our lovely, sensual voices for an additional 30-minute episode if you join the Patreon casting tier and up.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram,
and I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready?
Okay, yeah. I'll do my best.
All right.
One, two, three. Bye.
How was that on your end? Was it good?
It was awful.
Really? Is that the final?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.